Hello, I hope you're having a wonderful day today. We are carrying on with the series of biblical womanhood and the home. If you haven't seen my first video in the series, I will link it below. My hope with these videos is to encourage you to take God at His word. Following His ways are good, and give you very practical, tangible help or encouragement or advice. That is my hope with this whole series. In Titus 2, it encourages the older women to teach the younger women to be keepers of the home, to be a homemaker. And the most common response that Scott and I get when we talk about women becoming homemakers full-time, quitting their jobs outside of the home to be keepers of the home, the number one comment that we get is, "In this economy, both a husband and wife have to work." Verbatim. That comment comes up all the time. So, that is what we're going to talk about in the next few videos. In this economy, can you be a homemaker? Some of you may be watching this and you are already a homemaker. Praise God. You're home full time, but you still very much struggle with guilt that you are not contributing to your family's income. I hope that these videos will be an encouragement to you, give you courage that you are right where God has called you to be, and He will bless the work of your hands where you are. And we are very much contributing, helping with our family's finances. My videos are always to women. To wives, I do not make videos for men. These videos are not for men. If you do want videos from the male perspective, Scott and I have done a ton of videos on this topic. Our channel's called Scott and Kelly, and I will link a few of those videos below that are specifically geared towards this topic. So I am not talking to husbands, I am talking to wives. I am very aware that there are situations in which you might be in one of them where your deepest desire is to be a homemaker, to be home full time. You do not want to be at your job. But maybe your husband isn't there yet. Maybe your husband is asking you to have a job, to work outside of the home. And for those of you who are in this situation, there is a scripture that you can cling to. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So when they see your respectful and pure conduct, so do not nag, do not complain. You can obviously talk to your husband about these things. What would it look like for me to be a full-time homemaker? What adjustments can we make in our life that would enable us to live on just your income? What are things that we can do to move towards the Titus 2 lifestyle and start exploring those things? You can also win your husband without a word by your pure and respectful conduct. Have you been spending money recklessly? If you have been, then there is an opportunity to rebuild trust with your husband when it comes to finances. Because maybe for your husband, logically, he's looking at the numbers and they don't add up. The amount of money that's being spent requires both of your incomes. So maybe the most important thing that you could be doing right now is adjust your lifestyle of spending and start putting into practice being a frugal wife now so you can build trust with your husband. And so this time right now doesn't need to be wasted. You can start applying these principles to your life. Build trust with your husband and work towards the goal of living a life within your means so that you can cut out your income. And in order to do that, you might have to change your belief system, which is the focus of today's video. So much of our belief system, if not paid attention to, is there because of repetitive propaganda from the world that we live in. Beliefs formed from hearing things over and over that we may not even consciously be aware of, but it's just because we have repetitively heard these things over and over that without thinking about it, you just end up saying those things. Jesus says in Luke 6:45, "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." I also really like the Message version of the scripture. I don't often refer to the Message version, but I thought it was really good. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. So what you believe will brim over into your true words and deeds. So if you believe God's word, you will obey it and live it. So the common phrase that just gets blurted out, maybe even typed into a comment section, that in this economy, both the husband and wife have to work. Hear this over and over and over again, and you will start to believe it. You will live by that. Your true being brims over into words and deeds. So this brings us back to the garden. When Satan said to Eve, did God really say? And like I said in my intro video, Satan's tactics aren't new. He is using the same tactics over and over and over again, getting us to doubt God's word. He whispers little lies of, did God really say for you to be a keeper of the home? Those are the little lies that creep in and we end up believing because that is what's pushed by culture. That is what is celebrated by culture today. When you're following God's ways, you are going completely against the popular flow. You are going against the grain. And it is harder doing that because you're not going to be celebrated like you would if you were out getting this big time career. But we're not living for worldly accolades. We're not living to be celebrated by the world. We want to live lives obedient to Jesus. I am reading this book right now, which I have shared with you guys in a previous video. I hadn't started reading it yet, but I was just talking about how I love beautiful old books. And it was this book from 1910. I started reading it and I'm about a quarter of the way through it. And I really love it. It has been such an enjoyable nighttime read. It's written by Florence L. Barclay, if you're interested. This is actually a first edition of the book, which is why I just think it's so pretty. But the premise of this book is there is a young missionary who then, I believe he's visiting Europe, and I don't know why, but he's taking a break from the mission field, going to Europe, and he is standing in for an older rector who I think is out on sick leave, and he's living at his house temporarily while he's filling in for him at the church. And so at the house, there is the rector's maid. And so he's having a conversation with the maid about if she would like to live in Africa. And then he asks her if she likes snakes. So this is where we pick up. Sarah is the maid. She says to him, "Don't mention him, Mr. Rivers, sir. Nasty, evil things. If Eve had been as fearful of them as I am, there'd never been no fall. You wouldn't catch me staying to talk theology with a serpent." We'll go down a little bit, and it says, David smiled. "A good way, Sarah," he said, "and scriptural. But you forget the attraction of the tree with its luscious fruit. Poor Eve, the longing of the moment always seems the great essential. We are apt to forget the long eternity of regret." Isn't that so true? When Satan tempts us today, it's with money, things, status, approval, the attraction of the tree with its luscious fruit. The longing of the moment always seems the great essential. The longing of the moment for you may be people's approval. The longing of the moment could look like living a life beyond your means, but are those temporary longings for approval, for status, for money? Are those things going to make us forget the things of the greatest value? How many women I have heard in real life and in the comment section of videos say that they regret the days where they went and were working outside of the home and were not able to be with their children. I have heard that over and over and over. So many women say they regret the time spent working outside of the home and not being home, not being with their children, because those are days that they'll never get back. I have never heard a woman say she regrets being home with her children and she wishes she had went and gotten a job. I've never heard that ever. My mom was a homemaker, and I'm so grateful for my parents making that hard decision because I know they made huge sacrifices in order for my mom to be home. But I know without a doubt that the fruit of them making those decisions we see today. My parents have great relationships with all of their children. All of us know and love the Lord. My sisters are homemakers. And my mom says all the time, she loved being a homemaker. It was her greatest joy. She wouldn't trade that for anything. And I am so grateful for that example. I am blessed that I actually grew up with the example of my mom being a homemaker. For many of you, your mom did work outside of the home. And so you're the one that is the pioneer for your family. You're the pilgrim. You are setting the example for your children so that way your ceiling can be their floor. So if you are the first in your family to do the hard thing of being a keeper of the home, as hard as it is for you, you are pioneering a way for this to be the new normal for your children. Praise the Lord. Now, I do want to be clear that I am not saying a woman cannot make money. That is not at all what I'm saying. I am talking about working a job outside of the home where you are leaving your husband's hierarchy to go and be under someone else's hierarchy, where you no longer have any control of your time because someone else is controlling your time. I'm editing this video and I'm going to add another caveat because I know that there are women who are, their children are grown, they're out of the house, and they just have fun little side jobs of things that they like to do for fun. It doesn't really control their life, but it's just because they like being social, they like being around people, and that's not really what I'm talking about in this video. I am talking about careerism. I'm talking about young women leaving their children to be raised by someone else or to be taken care of by someone else so they can pursue their job or career. That is what I'm talking about. So I do want to clarify that. Back to the video. We are blessed to live in a time where we can make money from home. There are opportunities. But even then, I will say that if making money is causing you to become contentious or quarrelsome, if you are so focused on making money that you are having a mindset or even actually saying, like, husband, leave me alone, you're distracting me, you're stopping me from making money, or if you're feeling your children are in the way of you making money, then it's a problem and you are now putting making money above what God has specifically said for us to do in Titus 2. So it's a matter of priorities. Women can make money, but is making money causing you to be quarrelsome and contentious? Because if so, then that's a different problem. But in this video, I'm specifically talking about working outside of the home because it is taking you away from the domain that God created you for. You are irreplaceable in your home. And there are many who will say that you can work outside of the home and be a keeper of the home and give courage to that vision. Now, you may have to. There may be circumstances in your life where you have to work outside of the home and be a keeper of the home. That was me when we got married. Scott was an immigrant and he could not work his first almost year of being in America. I had to work outside of the home. That was our context. But there is a better way. The better way would have been for Scott to be the one making money when we got married. We were in reversed gender roles when we got married, and that was hard. There is major challenges with that. So yes, there are circumstances where a wife may have to work outside of the home, but hopefully that is temporary with the goal moving towards a wife coming home. So for me, whenever I hear people say, you can have a full-time job and be a keeper of the home, I feel like they are giving courage to your circumstances rather than giving courage to take God at his word, to live by faith. And like I said, do some women have to work outside of the home? Yes. Circumstantially, maybe there's something that's causing them to have to work outside of the home. But if we are honest, I think many women have to work outside of the home because of the lifestyle that they are living. They have become accustomed to a certain level, status of living that would embarrass them or would be highly inconvenient to leave. And so it is safer and easier to stay at your job than it would be to make the lifestyle changes in order for you to come home. Because that's humbling. That might mean downgrading your house. That might mean selling a car. That might mean selling a lot of things. That's challenging. That's why I always think the best way for a husband and wife to start a marriage is by the wife quitting her job, because then all you know is living off of one income. So the young wife learns how to live on little, and it only gets better from there, because then you're used to living on little. So then when your husband starts making more and more money, as normally is the trajectory, as men get older, they will make more and more money. That's the hope, that's the plan, that's the goal. But because in the early years of marriage, they learn to live off of a little, she carries those habits throughout the rest of her life, no matter how much her husband is making, because she practiced living on little when they first married. It's so much harder for you to get married, have two incomes, then have children, and the wife all of a sudden has this gut feeling, I am supposed to be home with my children. But we have built an entire lifestyle since we first got married on two incomes, and now we're gonna have to make some decisions on how to adjust to cutting out my income. And that's what my next video is going to be on, so stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about where your money is going when you're working a job, and hopefully that will be helpful for you in a very practical way. For this video, I'm focusing on belief systems because so much of our belief system really does impact our actions. So you have the phrase, in this economy, you have to work outside of the home. But then there's another side of the spectrum. Unfortunately, the YouTube algorithm has pushed a phrase within the homemaking realm of homemaking below the poverty line. To be fair, I have never watched any of those videos. I can imagine they're just talking about living frugally. But the reason why I've never clicked on any of those videos is because that title does not sit right with me, because I find it to be extremely disrespectful to their husband to publicly proclaim, I am living below the poverty line. Scripture is very clear in Proverbs that a wife is her husband's crown, but she who brings shame is rottenness to his bones. And back to the Peter verse, your husband will be won without a word by your pure and respectful conduct. I just don't think it's very respectful, because you are drawing attention to your husband's lack of provision. And I believe that is saying, when you decide to become a homemaker, when you decide to live on one income, you will be living in poverty. And I don't think that that's the right vision to be giving. The vision of frugal living, yes, because that is what the Bible says. A prudent wife is from the Lord. We are to have prudence. But to declare poverty, again, I haven't watched these videos, but one, I either imagine they're not actually living in poverty, they are using that title because YouTube has promoted it and it is a clickbait title. And that's the only thing I can understand, because if you are actually living in poverty, meaning you don't have a roof over your head, you don't have clothes to put on, and you don't have food to eat, then you should not be making YouTube. And you more than likely would not have the ability to be making YouTube videos. You should be getting off of YouTube and doing the Dave Ramsey thing of rice and beans, beans and rice, and finding any way possible to get a job to where you are no longer struggling to put a roof over your head, put clothes on your body, and put food on the table. That's what you should be doing. You should not be creating YouTube videos if you are living in poverty. And that's what leads me to think that they're not actually living in poverty, it's just become a clickbait title. But in an effort of creating a clickbait title, I just kind of think you're throwing your husband under the bus. And that's not good. It's never worth it to disrespect your husband just to get your videos pushed in the YouTube algorithm. But all that to say, I think those type of videos, even just the title, because I don't know what the specific videos are about, but that title is affirming the phrase that both husband and wife have to work outside of the home in this economy, or you will end up in poverty. And who wants to end up in poverty? Nobody. Nobody wants to live in poverty. But we can learn to live within our means. We can learn how to make $1 do the work of two. We can learn how to manage our home economy. We can learn how to cook from scratch. What are all the things that we need to do to save money? And then once you get really good at those things, you can even start making money from home in a joyful way, in a way that's not gonna make you quarrelsome and contentious, because you are growing in how to be a good home economist. So that is my hope with these videos. My next video will be on looking at where your money is going. Sometimes when you're working a job, you're actually spending more money because of the job that you have. So that's the next video. And then the video after that, I'm going to share on things that I do not do, or we do not have, in order to live a more frugal lifestyle. So I hope that this video has encouraged you. I hope it encourages you to renew your mind that maybe there are things that we fully believe only because it's been repeated so much. I hope this video has blessed you, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.